First of all, is everything back up and running? I know Luminance back. What's the situation in the valley?
Kate, things are good, in much better in the valley. As far as system-wide, no, not everything is up and running. I think Dottie could share with you some statistics on the number of megawatts that are not running, that are forced outaged. But in the valley, things are much better. Had a challenging night last night down in the valley with some generating units that tripped, but it looks as if things stay as is, we'll complete the morning peak without incident in the valley, or system-wide, including the valley.
And on Wednesday, more than 50 plants went offline, ERCOT has said. Were they a few big coal plants plus mostly gas plants?
They were a variety. That's a point I should make, is that this was distributed across the state. It was multiple owners. It was multiple fuel technologies. So it wasn't limited specifically to coal. It included a number of gas units as well.
Did we have a gas supply shortage on Wednesday?
Generally, no. There were some specific locations that had some challenges, and we're certainly appreciative to the involvement of the Public Utility Commission and the Railroad Commission to help us work through those individual limited challenges. There were also some issues that we noticed where the transmission providers who make the decisions on which loads to interrupt as part of the rotating outages were potentially impacting gas supplies to a very small number of generating units. And so we dealt with those on a case-by-case basis, and we'll revisit with the transmission providers opportunities to prevent that from happening in the future.
Was there an issue that homeowners were obviously needing a lot of gas for heating, and that was conflicting with the gas that would be supplied to the power plants?
I'm not aware of that being a major issue. Perhaps there were some isolated situations where that occurred. As a matter of fact, I do believe there were some isolated situations. I can't give you the specifics, but that was not a significant contributor to our problem. Our problem was more around the 50 generating units who had issues with their lack of winterization or insufficient winterization efforts that caused the major problem.
Were there problems with wind power plants needing to shut down for high winds or icing blades and so on, and also did nuclear plants have any problems?
Kate, I'm not aware of any nuclear plant problems, and I'm not aware of any specific issues with wind turbines having to shut down due to icing. I would highlight that we put out a special word of thanks to the wind community because they did contribute significantly through this time frame. Wind was blowing, and we had often 3,500 megawatts of wind generation during that morning peak, which certainly helped us in this situation.
Changing subject a little bit, wholesale power prices were incredibly high on Wednesday, I think 100 or more times what they were in the real-time pricing than the day before. Is there any possibility of market manipulation, which, if it were to happen, might logically occur at a time when one could blame another factor like the weather?
Kate, I actually would defer that question to the independent market monitor. I know he's been looking at the potential of that and could certainly share some comments with you.
Do you have any sense at this point how much money this is going to cost buyers of wholesale power? I mean, are we talking tens of millions, hundreds of millions to the state?
No, I don't, Kate. I guess I would. Were you on the conference call yesterday?
Yeah, I could only hear. I couldn't hear the questions, so it was a little bit. It was a little bit tough to make out your answers and so on.
Well, I would make the point that one thing I did not highlight during the call yesterday that I will highlight for you today is that a significant amount of that impact will really be on the backs of the power plants that were unable to supply power during that time frame, as opposed to necessarily being on the backs of the load. Because the power plants will have a financial penalty for not being available to generate that power during those times.
But obviously somebody bought the power at very high prices, and is that eventually likely to be passed on to consumers? And if so, how much more could Texans expect on their bills?
It's really possible for me to estimate that because I'd have to have insight into their hedging that would have occurred in the day-ahead market, as an example, or through bilateral contracts. So it would be difficult for me to speculate on that number.
And I know you all are saying the list of generators can't be made public because that's the list of generators that failed, plants that failed can't be made public because that's confidential market information under market rules. What is the competitive issue there? I get that there are market rules, but I think one can make a pretty good case that, you know, the public has a right to know who and what caused our power to go out during freezing temperatures.
Well, we'll be working with the market monitor and the commission and the legislature to work through what information we can make available to help in that effort. But what immediately presents a conflict for us is that our protocols prevent us from publicly disclosing information related to outages. Perhaps could allow other power plants that are running to impact offers if they were aware of the status of other resources across the grid.
But for a major event like this, do you think it might be possible to make an exception or change the rule?
I couldn't do that, but we certainly could. I'm sure the commission will be considering that, but I don't have the right to change the protocols to allow that.
Does ERCOT have the authority to order the power plants to get their act together and prepare properly for winter? And if not, who does? Because there's obviously an argument one could make that the less maintenance you do on a plant, you know, the more money you could stand to make in theory. You know, what can be done to require better maintenance of plants in Texas?
Well, one thing that I will be looking at is to see if ERCOT may play a stronger role in perhaps reviewing plant winterization procedures and perhaps looking for affidavits from the power plant owners to certify that their plants have been winterized prior to winter weather occurring. I think that's an example of something that we will potentially propose to improve our ability to ensure that they're ready for the cold weather.
And would that come with penalties, perhaps, or inspections and so on?
It certainly could come with with inspections. It could come with audits. Perhaps protocols could include some penalties if it's determined that there is inadequate winterization efforts that take place, but I think we're all kind of speculating at this point on what changes to the protocols could be.
Right. Going back to something we talked about earlier about, you know, the generator list not being made public. I mean, this could play into some people's concern that ERCOT is, at least in some significant part, run by the generators, you know, who make their own rules, and this is an issue. How would you respond to that?
Well, I would say, first of all, that ERCOT's primary responsibility here was ensuring reliability of the grid and avoiding any widespread outages across the state. So our focus certainly was on getting the grid in a reliable state without any concern with which specific owners of resources or which specific resources were facing the forced outages. I think I would look more to the independent market monitor to look into those details and investigate whether there's anything that was inappropriate occurring.
Is it likely as a result of this that Texas would be more open to greater interties with other grids?
Well, there was a similar question to that yesterday afternoon, and I apologize you couldn't hear the questions or some of my answers, but the comment that I made is that when the severe winter or summer events occur, it often impacts our neighbors in the same way that it impacts us, lessening their ability to provide support to us. I shared as an example yesterday that for a period of time during the day, we were importing power over a tie with Mexico, and we found at some point during the day that Mexico had to curtail that import because they were having problems with the cold weather adjacent to us. So sometimes that doesn't, that's not as promising as it appears on the surface.
Did the power go out at your home in the Austin area?
Kate, I'm not sure if it did because I was at the control room all day and even stayed in a hotel that night following the event. So I was at work dealing with the situation, so I'm not sure.
Right. And last thing, there's talk of perhaps reprioritizing the gas supplies so that gas-fired power plants, as I understand it, might have a little bit more priority. But that seems to me a pretty tricky question because homeowners who need gas for heating are at the top. And your affidavit to the Railroad Commission alluded to this. I mean, how could that protocol be effectively tweaked so that homeowners didn't lose out? It's potential sort of conflict of, you know, do you want heat or do you want electricity, it seems to me. It's a tough thing.
You're right. It is a delicate balance, and this is one that's been talked about for years. And I think my point is that it deserves more discussion, and I think that you know, the Public Utility Commission is committed to having more dialogue with the Railroad Commission and discussing whether there is an opportunity to clarify how those priorities might be addressed.